Welcome to our podcast about the Hitchhiker's Guide to Cloud Native. And for those of you who don't fully grasp the reference in the title, it's actually about Douglas Adams' cult novel, A Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, full of comedy genius and the best sense of the British tradition. And I stress British because our guest today is Scottish, so I have to be careful. But suffice it to say, you could also construct it in a slightly stilted way. Then it's about clients getting on the journey, but improvise, at times struggle, do it yourself. And with that, it's Leah's brings me to our guest for today, Jamie Dobson, CEO of Container Solution. And Container Solutions are really, they're the vanguard of that journey. That's literally it. But also, what I like most about them, culturally, they're a bit like HFS, they're calling a spade and all nonsense. And if you ever get the chance to watch one of the webinars, I highly recommend it. You will get a sense of the energy, the enthusiasm, but also the wicked sense of humor. And with that in mind, I was delighted when Jamie and I agreed on the title. So at least that's good for a start too. It's not a bad quorum. Jamie, it's a great pleasure to have you on today.
Thank you, Tom. It's really nice to be here. Now, it is true I am the CEO and co-founder of Container Solutions, but I'm not Scottish.
You're not Scottish.
I'm not Scottish. I'm from Yorkshire.
What do I know? Don't trust me on anything. Then I'll just tell you.
But I definitely am from Yorkshire, and that's why accent is slightly different.
Gosh, again, don't trust me on anything, like I said. But before I start my chat, and I really look forward, as you can see by the introduction, let me allow me to give you some pointers how we at HFS are planning to cover cloud. And if I think about the relevant issues for us, and I wish there are more simple answers, if you come back to Douglas Adams' cult novel, it's a refreshing, simple answer for the supercomputer deep thought throwing a 42 as the answer to the ultimate question of life, the universe and everything. Sadly, outside fiction, life's much more complicated. With that in mind, but also a little bit ignoring all the hype coming from the supply side, for us, the journey is less around hyperscaler, containerization, Kubernetes, although Phil is nudging me, Tom, you have to write about it. But it's actually about culture, about people, about process. And I know Jamie's aligned to that, having watched many of his webinars. At the same time, with the very sad circumstances of COVID, again, it's less about just cost, VPNs, and the ability to work from anywhere. It's much more about literally organizations having the ability to deliver end-to-end, but more than anything else, to accelerate transformation as well as innovation. And to get a better sense of the progress with that journey across the industry, we'll see us launching a demand-side survey to underpin our research the same way you used it for many other topics. So anybody who's not coming to our webinars and podcasts, you know all the data slides we have. So you will see the same in the context of slides. So stay tuned for that. And with that, without further ado, let me bring in Jamie. When my esteemed colleague, Phil, introduced Jamie to me not too long ago, he said, Tom, Jamie is like me 10 years back, but on steroids. Having had many the pleasure of many discussions with Jamie, I wholeheartedly concur. So Jamie, with all those accolades, what is cloud native all about? I was listening yesterday to one of your webinars and the answer was nobody knows. It's quite refreshing. But having said that, how should we think about it, Jamie?
Thank you for that wonderful introduction, Tom. It was very nice to be described as being like Phil on steroids. I think I'll take that one as a compliment.
You should.
So it is true. We have this initiative at Container Solutions called WTF Cloud Native. What the F is cloud native? And it's a little bit tongue-in-cheek because nobody really knows. But as you know, Tom, we spent 6 years helping companies become cloud native and studying those who had succeeded with it. And in the end, what happens is a kind of, you know, we start with the technology and that's what people think cloud native is. And so, you know, over time, our monoliths become client-server applications. And we think, hey, do you know what? We're only one step away from a microservice architecture. And if we've got microservices, we can stick them in containers, container solutions, and we can stick all of that lot on the cloud, whether that's the Amazon Cloud, AWS, Google Cloud, or Microsoft's Azure. But the truth is that there are another 8 dimensions to cloud native. That's to do with culture. It's to do with how you provision your workloads and your infrastructure. And it's to do with how you team, how you organize yourself. And people often think, how? What? Surely this is all about cloud native is surely about cloud. But actually, if you scratch the surface, you see a different story. So Netflix, for example, a very famous cloud native company, uses Amazon, invented a lot of the technologies we use, but they also have a culture of experimentation. Yeah. And when you have a culture of experimentation, when you're allowed to fail and to try things, then you've got a way to evolutionarily, that's quite a mouthful, evolve your products. So the cloud native tech stack will not give you cloud native value unless all of the supporting infrastructure and mindset goes along with it. In many ways, the technology is the easy part.
Great. I think I couldn't concur more, and that's why we have you on. But let's move perspective for a moment, literally talk container solution. And being the researcher that I am, I went on YouTube, and it's literally a treasure trove to find stuff about you guys. And most memorable for me, it's, I think you described it, when people join your organization, there's almost a period of sense of terror. But equally, I think I found out some of them at a bi-monthly meeting with psychologists. So tell us more. I'd be intrigued to learn more about the container solution, what you're all about.
Well, that's a great question. I think it's really hard to know where container solutions has its genesis. Some people would think we're a little bit like McKinsey. So if you go back to the early days of McKinsey, the Tom Peters time in the early 80s, the alchemy of growth, we're great educators. And I think McKinsey's were very good educators. But at the same time, I'm in my 40s now, which meant 20 years ago, many people were frustrated with consultancies and professional services firms. It was all about locking in your customers to long contracts you couldn't get out of. It was not necessarily about creating value for your customer, but longevity for yourself. And so there was this whole wave of, let's call it consulting 2.0, a different generation that believed in sharing, that believed in not locking their customers in. Now, we were six. It was our 6 years anniversary last weekend.
Well, congrats.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. And we figured the market or the world was ready for a consultancy or a professional services firm that would walk hand in hand with their customers. We're also quite progressive. I used to play international sports. I know that's hard to believe if you look at me now with this extra tire I've got around my guts.
You're always ready to fight, Jamie. I think I can tell as much.
Well, and so, you know, we've got these ideas from high-performing teams, and that's where the psychology group at Container Solutions came from. We think, in fact, we think it's almost a fact, cloud computing, distributed computing, is the hardest type of computing. Yeah. It requires a range of skills. It requires you to pull the users or the requirements from your users' heads. It needs us to be good at Linux. It needs us to be good with security. It needs us to be good with design. It needs to be with applications. You cannot have such cross-functional teams and such a cross-functional offering without really high-performing people who know how to work in groups. So you take this idea that we're educators, you combine it with this desire to do consultancy in a different way, and this extremely difficult nut we're trying to crack, distributed systems engineering, and then basically you get container solutions.
Sort of container solution as a McKinsey of cloud, but I learned as you talking, I learned always something. That's great. Well, we will talk about your clients in a moment. What's your own goal, your end goal? Is there such a thing? Are you hoping to be acquired at some point? You're having far too much fun and try to scale. Can you share with us your plans for yourself and your colleagues?
Sure, happy to share. You know, we always get that question. That, I mean, the problem is the acquisition market is hotting up. And a company like Container Solutions, it is possible to reproduce our capability, but you cannot reproduce it overnight. So a lot of companies, for example, in the United States who want to take a foothold in Europe, they're looking at Container Solutions as an acquisition target. And of course, it would be nice. Everybody has options. And in fact, many people have shares at Container Solutions. It would be very nice to contribute to the personal wealth of our people. At the same time, this is a special group of people. Yeah. So we want to.
That's for sure.
Ralph, thank you very much. And we want to see how far we can take this. And so there's a part of us hoping to avoid the acquisition question for as long as possible. We've only just started to make inroads into the United States, serving customers in the Eastern time zone. We've only just started to do really interesting things in machine learning, artificial intelligence. And it's a very healthy business. It's very profitable. So we can simply reinvest and continue growing. So I'm not sure where the future for the Container Solutions lies. I'm quite sure we won't deviate from our mission. We are currently really active in lobbying for green data centers. Yeah. you know, we encourage our customers to use cloud computing that is powered by 100% renewables. We're extremely proud of our record in diversity. We have a diverse workforce. It's a safe place. And we've also made massive inroads into technical ethics. We're one of the leading companies talking about ethics. And as we become more profitable, we really are looking to shift the way this community and our industry views itself and the impact we can have on, you know, larger problems in 2021 and beyond.
That's great. And it's another example, when I said earlier, for me at least, I think for you as well, it's all about, mostly about culture and people. And I think you just literally articulate that very well. But can I almost try to almost pull you slightly in the different direction back to your clients? In the end, what's the ultimate goal for the journey towards cloud native? Are there clusters you see time and time again? Is it innovation? Can you share literally, not least as you're guiding clients on that journey, what the goal that should work with you and other partners should work towards?
Well, Tom, we love our clients. I think that's the first thing to say. So we are so co-creative. You asked me, where did we come from? Was it McKinsey's? Yeah. Well, we took a bit from IKEA as well. So you know that. So IKEA do this amazing thing. They bring their customers on the manufacturing process because the final assembly happens in your house. A lot of the work we do with customers is around co-creation. I've got the pleasure and the wonderful experience of working with brilliant executives. I help with strategy. I help them with their culture. We talk about green data centers and things like that.
Yeah.
So the most important thing is we love our customers. Now, why do they get into cloud? Well, a few years ago, it was about cost savings. Let's not beat around the bush.
Yep.
Every time there's a recession, every company in the world comes under a pressure to do more with less. We are definitely going to see that now with COVID. And these so-called jobless recoveries have become the norm in Western capitalist society. The pressure is always there. Let's do more with less. This is what cloud is all about to begin with. And so what that meant was, you could reduce your costs, you could outsource your data center to a cloud provider. They could do a much more effective job, much more cheaply. Of course, this also had impacts for your balance sheet, because when you build your own data center, it's a capital expenditure. Yeah. When you rent a machine from Amazon, it's of course an operational expenditure. So it completely changed the way we recorded numbers. And of course, there were benefits to that. This is when it got interesting. Because once the cost element was taken care of, and once we'd, frankly speaking, outsourced a huge headache, namely the data center, all of a sudden executives were worrying less about millions in cost savings and started to focus on potentially billions in value capturing. This, in my opinion, is the evolution of cloud and cloud native. So what are our customers asking for? Some of them are still asking for cost reductions, no problem. But many of our executives are saying, hey, do you know what? We need a system of digital innovation. We've got to keep out our competitors who have gone cloud native. We've got to keep out the tech giants if they come and play in our backyard. How can I, as an executive, create this awesome platform of innovation for digital products? Starling Bank in the UK, ING Bank in the Netherlands, all of these companies absolutely dominating their marketplaces powered by cloud native. This is what they're after, Tom, nowadays.
Makes a lot of sense. And so almost a sad occasion to ask, but with COVID, on one hand, is there a change in the goals of a client? But also, do you feel, in a sense, we feel there's more acceleration? But at times, I've asked myself, is almost wishful thinking organizations should do that, but are they actually doing it? So cut a long question short, do you see a change in customer behaviors in COVID or rather not?
For sure, some weird changes, some really weird changes that mirror the pandemic. The last change is really important. The first change was spend, because people intuitively realize that cloud native drives down your costs and increases organizational resilience, because the more you automate and the systems we build, they fix themselves very often. Then all of a sudden, cash started to dry up and all purchasing decisions became centralized. So the work orders you were putting together and the proposals you were putting together were taking longer and longer to be approved. This was COVID stage two. And now it looks like we're in COVID stage three, where the whole world has woken up to the fact that we can do more with less with cloud native, we can be more highly available, more resilient, and actually COVID has become the forcing function to take what was once a plan or an idea into an actual implementation. Our telephone hasn't stopped ringing, although that's a metaphor because nobody actually calls us anymore.
So I take it you have much more colleagues joining and having the state of terror you were describing the other day. So I take it from there. Having said that, on a slightly more serious note, how should or where should clients start? Can you give almost practical advice? There are a few topics more complex. Is it literally, do you have to define the strategy? Do you start with data? Where do you start? How shall you start in your experience?
In my opinion, the most important thing to consider is this. In business, sometimes we're too mature. So we say things like this. We say, go big or go home. This is the exact opposite of what you need to do with cloud.
Yep.
So a lot of the cloud providers, I will not name any names, their business model is based on telling their customers, hey, get into cloud with us and with our products and all of your headaches will go away. And by the way, the price tag is $5 million. It doesn't work like that. Cloud native, for all that we've spoken about of culture and technology, the transformation to cloud native is a process. And again, the process, if you look at it stepwise, should gradually reduce risk over time. So I'm very sorry to disappoint you, Tom. Good old fashioned gap analysis is where it starts. And so if you look at our maturity matrix, you can see it's a tool for creating a gap analysis. You do not need to spend a couple of million dollars to realize, hey, we need to improve the way we iterate on product development and we need to update our current architecture. So my opinion, take a risk wise approach. Gap analysis, target state and current state, and one of the few no regret moves, the things that would benefit you in any circumstances that move you towards it. So you do your thinking and then you do a little bit of design. And only then, when you've more or less figured out the right platform for you and the right processes for you, do you start to go all in on cloud native. Yeah. Now, you asked me about my customers. I'll tell you something funny. I've been in meetings with executives, grown men, older than me, grown men in suits, and they've listened to our pitch and they've watched this whiteboard, this risk reduction process. I had one guy stood up. I wouldn't say he had tears in his eyes. He stood up and he opened his arms and he hugged me. And I was like, what is happening? What is going on? And he hooked me for one simple reason. He said, we were just about to press play on a $5 million project. You've just saved me 4.5 in one meeting. I said, it's our pleasure. And the joke is what we say is if you've budgeted $6 million, work with us and we'll stretch that $6 million for the next 3 years.
Jamie, you rarely disappoint me. If anything, you tell great anecdotes, but more important, you're going to say it from the outset. You guys are at the vanguard of the journey. And I think, you know, in all your answers and all your guidance, it's strongly coming through. So thanks for that. To balance all this practical advice, where the market really is, how should we think, especially what kind of workloads have moved to the cloud? What are the workloads where client remain cagey? At best, we might see a private cloud, a little bit of bare metal. What's your view? Can you, with a painting with a broad brush, give us some sense what you feel, which workloads are moving or have moved?
Do you know what? It's a bloody difficult question. I hope, can I swear on this webinar?
That's why I invited you, Jamie. That's why.
It's a bloody difficult question. So I'm here in the city today, the city of London. Yeah. So within the 1 square mile around me, the type of workloads that financial organizations will be moving to the cloud will be, well, in the beginning, it's about the easy stuff. But as I said, once the risk of a project starts to get reduced, then you can start to take bigger risks. We know of companies around here that have got the payment systems in the cloud. We know customers that have got the customer satisfaction tooling in the cloud. Yes. And so really it's to do with decision making. If you end up doing a matrix, what's the most vulnerable or what's the most business critical application and what's the easiest one to put on the cloud, whatever's in that cluster is what you should go with. But things change rapidly. 2 years ago, everybody was all about, well, the cloud's not secure enough. All of a sudden, people are like, hold on, the cloud is much more secure than anything we've got down in our data center or even worse, our basement. So typically, as the migration begins, you want workloads that are not so business critical that if it goes wrong, you're going to lose lots of money. But frankly, over time, we've got companies that have put everything there. And it's very context specific. I'll give you another example from retail. we do quite a lot of work in retail, like, you know, the time, the crunch time around Black Friday, yeah, all the different periods in the years where you have high loads on retail systems. And what we tend to do in retail is we tend to move small applications in non-critical geographies.
Yeah.
Now, that's a very polite way of saying we don't mess around with the American or German market, because if something goes wrong, we'll lose millions of revenue. So actually, let's experiment in a very small part of the world, maybe South Holland, for example, maybe Estonia, because if it goes wrong, then the revenue impact is only tiny. And so it's a difficult question to answer. It's very context specific.
Not salient advice, but also brilliant segue. So how should we think about managing all this new Chinese stuff? Do we need new approaches to enterprise-wide service management, not just the silos? How should we think of governance? Even contracting is not just saying, hey, the old days, we pay with a credit card, all this stuff. It's much more all-encompassing, listening also to you. How should we think about that? Or, I mean, it's probably a topic in itself, but any point that you could share?
Well, it's a complete game changer, because the problem is silos are easy to get your head around, and the waterfall model of software delivery is easy to get your head around. But cloud native is ultimately a tech stack and a set of processes that enables huge creativity. This week I spoke to Matthew Skelton, who wrote Team Topologies, and he was giving us some great examples. When people succeed with cloud native or with platforms, their organizations change. All the hierarchical meetings vanish, and all of a sudden you've got lunchtime sessions. Twice a year you've got internal conferences where one team explains how they're succeeding with a piece of software. Within the same organization, they're communicating through Git repositories, or they're joining each other's team, spending a couple of months in one team and a couple of months in another. So governance around the cloud native way of working is actually almost identical to how we manage open source in the real world. We've got committees, we've got focus groups, we've got pull requests, we've got blogs, and we've got good manuals. We've got lots of conferences. What used to happen out there is now happening in here. Now, I don't know what your viewers or listeners will think, because this is a proper brain fryer. Everything we knew about business up until this point is changing. And the ones who have done it, ING Bank have done it really well over there in the Netherlands. But the ones who are succeeding with this are capturing billions in potential value. It's a game changer. We always talk about the electricity grid. Once upon a time, we used to power our electricity in the factory. And, you know, we'd build cars and bicycles. Every now and again, the generator would blow up. Somebody would get their arm chopped off. The factory would burn down. And at some point, we said, you know what? Let's move the power to the national grid. And it changed the organization of the factory. It changed the type of workers we need and how we would remunerate them. It changed the way businesses functions. This is what cloud is doing right now.
Salient advice. Jamie, I think I know we can go on for hours, and I look forward literally to join a good drink with you and her, or more anecdotes. But in the interest of time, to close us out, what's next for Container Solutions? What next for you guys?
The next thing for us is, on the business side, we have got this fantastic 24/7 run service. So what Netflix do internally, or what Google do internally, we will do for our customers. It's a very expensive and timely thing to set up. We have got this set up right now. So we will help our customers become cloud native. And then when you're ready to run, we'll run it for you. We do it at a fraction of the cost that you can do it yourself, with a lot less risk. This is super exciting for us. We are making headroads into the United States. This is a fantastic geographical expansion. We're very proud of that. The only thing I would add to that, Tom, to just anchor, you know, all the talk around businesses, we will not contribute to climate degradation. Everything we do at Container Solutions from this point forward will be carbon neutral, and we will work with our customers to achieve their carbon goals as well. There is no reason for a data center to be powered by dirty energy. We want to be part of the changes we want to see. And so that is what 2021 looks like for myself and my colleagues at CS.
I wish you success, because I know you will be success, but hopefully also our listeners, the way I introduced you, the energy, enthusiasm, but not only that, that's almost a skill in itself, but also just listening to you guys, literally the vanguard of that journey. So really thank you for all your contribution, your insights. But more importantly, I look forward to continuing the discussion. So big thank you, Jamie. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Tom.
Stay safe.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much. Thank you.